All right, we are rolling. So, David, you have come to us all the way from Florida. Yes. Is this your first time to come to Oklahoma?
No, actually, I've been to the state many times, and I have friends in Oklahoma City and in Norman, and have done things round and about the state, honor choirs and that sort of thing. And okay. Was actually here a few years ago at the Fall Teachers Institute.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I was here for a weekend in November. Yeah.
So you're not new to Quartz Mountain then? Not really.
No, yeah. Although this is the most extended amount of time I've been here.
And as you've learned, it's a little different in the summer than it is in the fall.
It's a little warmer.
It's a little warmer, yeah. Definitely so, yeah. Did you have a good time at the fall workshop?
It was terrific, yeah. I was here for elementary music teachers workshop. So it was an intensive time, but over, I think, just 3 days with about 25 teachers and helping them to develop teaching strategies for their own music classrooms, particularly with regard to singing.
Right.
It was all built around a packet of repertoire, and with that we conducted and sang and strategized, and it was really good. They were very, very engaged and very looking for ways to be more engaged with their own students. And it was really wonderful. And the magic of this place at that time really caught my attention, and I thought, this is really wonderful. And so as it worked out, I was able to come back for this experience.
And it's great that you're here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad you used the word magic, too, because I think that is really the only word to describe what
happens.
Yeah,
it's quite unique. And when we first drove in the first time, when we drove around that corner and kind of down, and you see this facility nestled in these mountains, it was really quite something. And being here, you know, away from everyday routines and commitments and pressures and things, it's kind of out of space and time, and so you really can concentrate on what you're here to do, which I thought was great.
Yes, it really is. My experience here is that the absolute best way to get the most out of being here for Summer Arts Institute is to totally forget about the outside world as much as you can. Don't watch TV. Yeah. Don't read the newspaper. Don't go to CNN and find out what's going on in the world. Not that those things aren't important, but, you know, for 2 weeks you can just close that door and really focus on being a singer or being a dancer or whatever. You know, it's really the best way if you can kind of shut it out. It's an amazing place.
Yeah, it quite is.
Yeah. You told us the other day that you come from a small town, that you had kind of a, you lived at the edge of the cornfield.
The last house before the cornfield.
Yeah. And my guess is you've probably got a lot of kids in your choir here who are from towns about that small.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah. Who may have sung in their local high school choir or their church choir, probably both, and maybe were the best kid in that choir.
Right.
And then they come to Quartz Mountain.
Yeah.
It's different, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. And they're suddenly with all sorts of people who do what they do and love to do what they do and are at least as good as they are, and maybe, you know, maybe more so. Right. And the combined experiences of all of them having, you know, maybe interacted with other conductors and composers and had the opportunity to do, you know, honor choirs or whatever. From a small town, I didn't have all those experiences. I had never met a living composer, and I, though our choir was pretty good and I played in the band and did all that, we didn't have a lot of experiences to be with larger groups of singers. So I think this is really, really terrific, and particularly so much singing over the period of a day and over the period of a week, and then two weeks. It's you're able to get really have an intense experience with the music and kind of a personal experience with the music that in everyday life, again, you're saying the difference between everyday life, you may have choir, you know, one period a day or maybe not even every day during the week. Right. You know, I see my college students twice a week, you know, for an hour and a half, I guess. So to be able to sing, they sing with me 4 hours a day, and then they have sectional private voice instruction for another 2 hours. So that's a lot of singing each day.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah,
it definitely is, and that puts a strain on them physically.
Yeah.
I expect, and my guess is that you all think about that and help them get over that.
Yeah, they're at a developmental place right now, and so they're building endurance and stamina, and they're learning what is good healthy consistent singing technique. What's not going to harm their voices, and what's going to give them longevity, and what's going to be the best for them. And so we, you know, because they use their voice so much, we kind of help them along the way in knowing what are the signs of abuse or over-singing or too much singing or, you know, and staying hydrated and being rested and doing all the things that are just kind of general good health.
Yeah, right.
Because for, you know, players, you know, if you don't feel well, you can still maybe manipulate the piano, some contraption to make some sounds. But for singers whose instrument is their voice, all that wear and tear, you know, affects the sound of the voice.
Definitely,
and,
definitely does. Let's get back to that kid who comes here from the small town and who was the best singer in his or her local school, but comes to here and like they're one of 40 people in their section and they're not the best by far. Mm-hmm. How you see those kids and you can probably pick them out pretty easily from where you stand. How does that kid adjust to this experience in your
What I seem to have noticed is that it doesn't seem to be an intimidating experience for them at all, and it doesn't really seem competitive. It seems my impression is that it's an affirming sort of experience for them.
So
because they have, you know, the experiences in the large choir, and then they also have more personalized attention in their sectionals. All the men are together, all the women are together. They get a lot of reinforcement, a lot of positive reinforcement, and a lot of sort of personalized attention. And I mean, the kids themselves seem very eager and engaged and helpful and kind of wanting everybody to succeed. See, the difference in the, you know, when people who are writing or painting or taking photographs with their own camera, it's a very individualized experience, even though they're in a class together. In a choir or in an orchestra or in a ballet group or in a drama drama troupe, we're really interdependent on each other, and our success is based on everybody's success.
Right.
So it's a team experience, and so we want everybody to be comfortable and confident and successful.
And so everybody is assimilated into the group and feels good about it.
Yep, I think so.
That's good. That's good. I'm wondering if the kids who come here, and again, I don't want to belabor the small town point because I want to make the point that not everybody's from a small town.
Right. Yeah.
We have lots of kids from Oklahoma City and Tulsa and Jinx and all around it. I'm thinking that in many cases when they come to Quartz Mountain, that they are singing music that's at a level that may be significantly higher or more complex.
That could be,
More modern or whatever. Stuff that they're not used to, you know, to put it in very simple terms. Do you find that they like that? Are they challenged by it? Do they adapt to that?
I never know. I do a lot of guest conducting away from Orlando, and I work with choirs of all ages and from elementary age kids up through, you know, professional singers. And oftentimes I'm not sure if I've chosen the right kind of program or not, because it's usually chosen a year in advance. I don't know how many singers there might be, and may have a vague idea based on past programs what has been successful or not, and given the amount of rehearsal time, what's going to be frustrating or not. Or so I try to choose musics that I like and that will keep my interest and that I really love and think are well written and say something and connect with us inside, and then a variety of musics of different times and places and cultures and contexts and traditions and languages, different languages. Something that'll we also have, or I always have in mind, also the audience, because we're, you know, the end result of our efforts is that we present this for listeners and we want them to enjoy what we hear also. So I like a variety of things. I like, you know, different tempos, different styles, different, and so the program I chose really has almost every piece has a different sort of style. So in addition to learning different notes and rhythms and words and pitches and such, they're also kind of assimilating this. What are the stylistic characteristics of this kind of music? How does my body move to it? How do I shape it differently? What are the colors of this? And so hopefully the audience, I think that the singers have really enjoyed it. There are a couple of really unusual sorts of pieces. One that approximates a gamelan, which is an Indonesian, you know, orchestra, in which we have only five pitches and we sing a specific percussive sound on each pitch. Each pitch has a specific sound. It's very layered and it's very instrumental, and we've enjoyed that.
Yeah, I heard you rehearsing that the other day.
Yeah,
and you were just beginning to rehearse it. So, I haven't heard the thing all put together, and I'm really looking forward to
it. It's very different. That's a very different piece.
Yeah, probably nothing. Probably they have never sung anything like that.
No, I don't think they have.
So that is kind of part of the experience that happens here of people being stretched beyond where they have gone before. And that I think that is one of the neat things about this place. Yeah. You have only a week to put your concert together.
Right, and that's just the really first, just the first week.
Pretty quick turnaround, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a lot of, as I said, we rehearse a lot of hours a day. Mm-hmm. That's the advantage of that is that we have a lot of hours a day. The disadvantage is that we have a lot of hours a day because they get tired, you know.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
And the pacing is such that you want to really, you want to peak on the day of the concert. Mm-hmm. I'm here for the first week. There's another conductor coming in who I know and admire for the mm-hmm. second week, and she will then do a whole nother repertoire, a whole nother program.
Right.
So that's a lot of music. That's a lot of notes, you know, in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But again, it's all the more variety, and it's the experience of working with two different conductors, you know, with two different.
And that's the tradition here since before time, as far as anybody can remember, that there have always been two conductors for chorus and orchestra, and orchestra before we even did the chorus. But I think it works out okay.
Yeah.
Composers. You said in your presentation the other day that you were once honored as composer of the month, and it was Mozart 1 month, and then you, and then Vivaldi or something.
Yeah, right.
I think that's so funny.
It was very.
And those kids don't. And most kids probably don't think about composers as being people who could possibly still be alive.
No, you know? It was an elementary school, and it was a friend of mine actually who taught at this school in Sarasota, Florida, and she said, "We want you to be composer of the month." And so I was, and when I arrived, I didn't realize all the preparation that he had made for this day, and, mm-hmm. and that I was going to see every child in the elementary school, every. Wow. Home classroom was going to come to the music room for 20 minutes with me. So I had been on the morning announcements. I had been on the TV. I didn't know all this. And so when I arrived, I was walking from my car from the parking lot. This one kid said, "Are you David L. Bruner?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I thought so." And because he had seen me on TV.
This
and then this other kid
elementary
said,
school kid.
"Yeah, I'm turning the corner sort of down this hallway," and someone shouted, "There he goes." You know, so it was kind of a big celebrity. It was kind of funny.
Gosh.
But what was intriguing about that day was that they, as I said before, they saw lots of possibilities for their own life. And they had actually, mm-hmm. some classes had written poetry for, you know, about, because they knew I worked with words and singers and language. Mm-hmm. And so they talked about poems and what poems make good songs and that sort of thing. And how do you choose and how do you decide? And so it was really a wonderful day. And they had prepared some of my music. Their chorus had done some of my songs for this little concert that they had.
How nice.
So it was cool.
What a wonderful school that must be.
Mm-hmm. Very creative and very involved. Yeah. And the teachers had really set them up for success. They mm-hmm. had prepared them for my coming.
So. Obviously so.
Yeah.
Because
you
were the rock star there.
I was.
You? Yeah. Oh, that's very cool. I think that's very cool. But let's talk about how that applies to where we are today,
okay.
Quartz Mountain. And you have brought some of your original compositions
yes.
with you that you're working with the choir.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's that going?
Well, good. I'm doing two of my pieces. And I don't often conduct my own songs as much as I conduct works that were written by other people, like Beethoven and Mozart. So when I have the opportunity, I enjoy it. I've chosen two completely different pieces, one very rhythmic and kind of angular and lots of asymmetrical meters and rhythms mm-hmm. and such, and kind of alternate back and forth between these jaunty rhythms, a cantate domino setting in Latin and English,
mm-hmm.
and that's with brass and timpani and piano.
Ah.
And then the other one is very lyrical and very melodically dominated and very lush harmonies and quite slow and expressive, beautiful words by Elizabeth Bishop, her mm-hmm. sonnet, "I Am in Need of Music." And mm-hmm. so those are two different expressions of me and two different expressions of my writing style, I guess. I think they've enjoyed that a lot, and at least they humor me in making me think that they really liked it a lot. No, we've done really well on both of those pieces.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing them. I'm sure
Thanks.
They'll be great. How do you feel about the progression of your choir? This is Thursday, so you've been rehearsing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and today.
Yeah.
And your concert's Saturday?
Yeah, we have two more days.
Yeah, yeah. How's it coming? Is it moving along as quickly as you hoped?
Yeah,
it would?
As I said, we have nine different pieces. Plus, we're mm-hmm. singing a tenth piece in collaboration with the orchestra, which uh-huh. we're excited about.
Oh, nice.
The Tandun piece.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
My mistake. Yeah.
So there's a lot of repertoire, and there's a lot of as I said, endurance type things and mm-hmm. styles and articulations and such and so. So I've tried to pace it in a way that we can discover you know, the meaning of each piece, as we get deeper into it, they can become more confident in their singing. We can obviously sing all the right notes and mm-hmm. rhythms at the right time. Mm-hmm. But also that they can begin to be expressive in an artistic way. And that really only happens when they have the technique. You know, once they're securing their technique, then they can mm-hmm. They can dig deep down in their musical soul. A lot of young artists can be very expressive, but not always real technical, yeah. you know. Yeah. And so there's that danger of being, you know, of doing that. But I think they're at a really good place for today. We had an excellent rehearsal this morning, and this afternoon is the first time we meet some of the players. So they're coming for a little collaboration today, and then we meet the orchestra for the first time tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So we begin to synthesize. I work very much sort of synthesis, analysis, synthesis. So the first day, the very first rehearsal, we sang through the whole program, just to see kind of where they were and what their musical instincts were, how they had prepared, kind of giving me an idea of what's going to take the most rehearsal, what's mm-hmm. going to be easy, what's going to be difficult. And that helped me plan, you know, the succeeding rehearsals and how they'd unfold. And so this has been the nitty-gritty and kind of taking things apart and putting it back together in little sections, and some of it tedious and some not. Mm-hmm. So now we begin now to put it all back together, and particularly with regard to pieces in sequence and how one piece flows into the next and what's the changes from one to the other and what sorts of vocal challenges for each one and how do you prepare for it to begin to get large pieces of the program. Mm-hmm. And obviously tomorrow afternoon and Saturday we'll be singing the program all the way through for the
right.
continuity.
And just tweaking and polishing
right.
at that
yeah.
point, right?
Yeah.
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 I'm sure it's going to be great. I'm just looking forward to it. I want to talk to you or ask you about I don't know how often it is when you go do a clinic that, or an all-state choir or something mm-hmm. like that, that you have the choir that you conduct, but you also have faculty members who work with the sections. I know that is the case here. I'm
yeah.
just wondering if you see that as being a big advantage or anything.
Oh yeah, very much so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Keith and Patrice both have been extremely helpful, and Mark at the piano. It's been a real team effort, and they. At the end of each morning rehearsal, they sort of target, they're present in those rehearsals, and they mm-hmm. target the things that are going to be most necessary in their time with the students in the afternoon. And we also talk, you know, together about kind of planning what the strategy will be in. And they also are, you know, three extra sets of ears because mm-hmm. I think I listen pretty well, but I get in the moment and I'm, you know, doing mm-hmm. my thing and they hear things from a different perspective in the room where maybe this is overbalanced or maybe we should, Patrice, particularly with the women, some of the higher voices have been revoicing and receding and moving around and maybe right. not so many voices on this part. And that's been really helpful. Plus the students being able to work with them in, as I said earlier, in that kind of intimate setting is really more personalized instruction. And gives them another perspective as well. Oftentimes, mm-hmm. you know, in technical things and helping them use their voice, it's for singers, it's as much a sensation as anything. Mm-hmm. When I'm singing well, it feels like this because mm-hmm. there are no buttons to push. You know, like a trumpeter puts down these two fingers mm-hmm. or these two fingers or no fingers or
and
whatever.
The note comes out.
Well, we don't
mm-hmm.
kind of have those buttons that are
right.
so obvious. So it's all a lot of it's sensation. Mm-hmm. And we're helping to identify what it feels like to sing well. Mm-hmm. So the imagery that I may use may be enhanced by something that Keith says in his sectional, mm-hmm. or he'll approach it from a different way. And so you connect with different kids based mm-hmm. on the language you use and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. And we're just trying to help to meet them where they are in their development and take them, you know, obviously to the next place.
That's a great idea. And yeah. and I would imagine that having them do that work in the sectionals makes your full chorus rehearsal
well, yeah.
much more efficient.
Well, the great thing is after they're together from 1:15 to 3:15, they come back together with me at 3:30 for a full mm-hmm. rehearsal. That's always the most fun is that first, you know, first moment when they're all back in the same room mm-hmm. because they're fresh from having spent this time away.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they're all choral directors in their own, you know, that's what they do. And Mark
right,
as
right.
well at the piano is a choral director.
Is
so he thinks
uh-huh.
like a conductor, mm-hmm. you know, as well as being an excellent pianist.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay, so you're having a good time.
Yes.
You're making progress with the music. You've got a good program lined up, including some of your own compositions. And at the end of the week, you will have a performance. But my guess is you probably have goals for these students beyond that they have a good performance on
yeah.
Saturday night. So talk to me about what your goals are. How do you want your students to be different when you leave
right.
here than they were when you got here?
Yeah. It's interesting because for people who do the sorts of things I do and who are invited to come and conduct, it's one thing to get off of a plane and conduct, you know, 20 hours or whatever and have this intense experience mm-hmm. and then go away again. It's much different than the educational experience they have week to week and day to day and month to month in a music classroom. That's a sequential, you know, layering on of skills and understandings. And so oftentimes the person who comes in, like I'm here now, is maybe inspirational, maybe whatever. And so but in addition to those, I think what I intend to do most is to help them identify what are big ideas about music, what are mm-hmm. conceptual ideas about music, not just this piece, not just this rhythm, not just these notes, because we can fix notes and, you know, pound rhythms and do all that. And you may have a really wonderful performance of this song, but I want them to understand kind of the bigger ideas about concepts that transfer from piece to piece or from song to song or from melodic idea to melodic idea, things about movement in time and about increase in tension or release from that, and mm-hmm. things that expressive devices that move us in some way. And we're all moved by music, but in different ways, you know, or we all may have an emotional response to music, but our responses will be different based on how we relate to that, to our own personal experiences or upbringing or mm-hmm. memories or whatever. Yeah. Suzanne Langer, the music philosopher, said, music is the tonal analog of the emotive life. Music moves the way we feel, but mm-hmm. we all feel in different ways. You know, so when you hear the some of our pieces on the concert Saturday night, you may go, oh, that makes me tingle because whatever. Yes. And somebody else may be tingling in a different way, and other people might not tingle at all. You know,
right.
So,
right.
So I like to have them have those associations, those kind of big picture ideas, and I also try to have them have the experience of kind of moving deeper inside of themselves for what it is that we do, why it is that we sing, and why it makes us feel good, and why bother with this? You know, mm-hmm. why is it that artists do what they do mm-hmm. In 2008 when a lot of people don't think it's so important?
Right.
You know, and to see that it is important, and to affirm each other in the fact that it is important, and to identify those feelings, emotions, beliefs, ideas, you know, whatever it is that make us what we are. You know. And for singers, I think more than any other musician, it's often easier for us, or we're perhaps able to go deeper because of the association with words, because composers have taken a text of some sort and sought to express that in a way that, you know. Mm-hmm. So we work with ideas and beliefs and stories and things that abstract or more abstract musics may not have the same connections.
Exactly.
You know, it's making connections and relationships. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of what I do, is making relationships mm-hmm. with the singers, the parts of the choir, the performers with the audience, all of these people with composers and cultures and mm-hmm. languages and great poets, great words.
Yeah. And that kind of leads me to the next sort of elaboration mm-hmm. on that question is that probably out of your chorus, the odds of very many of those kids becoming professional musicians are slim. Some of them will,
yeah, right.
But mostly they won't. And the same thing is true in all the disciplines.
Yes.
Most of these girls are not going to become professional ballet dancers, yes. And most of the photographers won't make their living doing that. What we think is true is that there are other changes that happen here to those kids while they're here. And mm-hmm. So you began to touch on that with the relationships and the understanding of the world that we're in. Would you like to define other goals that you might have that are totally beyond being a better singer?
I think some things that happen is you develop a greater awareness of yourself, mm-hmm. And your creative capabilities and your the depth of your emotional life and your and the possibilities for yourself as a person.
Yes.
And those may or may not be related to how you play the trombone, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But you find, particularly in relating with other people who do what you do, and this is something we haven't talked about, but the association with other people in other disciplines that are here mm-hmm. the same time you are. And I, as a faculty member, have found this really interesting and intriguing and enriching. With the poet who is here and with the photographer who is here and with the dancers who are here, and the fact that every night we have an experience of kind of glimpsing as best we can how it is they think, what it is they do. And I find very close associations with the way they describe their work with what I do. Last night, the modern dancers speaking about choreography as a means of time and space and shape, time and space and maybe it was shape. And that's the same with regard to composition and the mm-hmm. same with regard to the way music moves. Mm-hmm. And the parallels and the similarities between the arts. So that students who are here dancing on Tuesday night when the presentation is about painting will say, well, that's what I feel and that's how I think and that's what I do. But I do it in this way. I do it in another way. Mm-hmm. My means are different. My end result may be the same.
One of the ballet teachers said in an interview a few years back that she was talking about the same thing, the interdisciplinary aspect. And she said, ultimately, it's all about expression.
Yeah.
It's all about communication.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're a photographer, a singer, a dancer, it doesn't matter. It's, we're all trying to achieve the same thing ultimately. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other night when George read his poetry, I thought, oh, gosh, that really resonates with me.
Yeah.
And yet my life experiences are completely different than his. Mm-hmm. But I went to the bookstore and bought both of his books.
Yeah, me too.
And I've read them already, just like this fast. And and they just really, I have a personal association with all of his words, and yet mm-hmm. the stories are not my stories.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
But, well, I'm glad you brought that aspect of the interdisciplinary aspect, because I do like to talk about that. And I want to ask you, you've traveled all around. You've done millions of camps, millions of clinics, millions of all-state things. Have you had very many experiences where you have this mix of disciplines that we have here?
No, none.
Not at all, zero.
Not at all. Yeah. There have been... I've been in college campuses, for example, where different classes are being offered at the same time. And mm-hmm. maybe someone takes something in music and someone takes something in something else or whatever. But I've not been in a situation like this. In fact, I've not done a lot of camps. Most of what I do is of just a few days, you mm-hmm. know, three days here, an all-state chorus or an honor chorus or something, or a teacher education workshop. I work a lot with teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, I think, is quite unique. And the fact that there are so many different areas and each one is so intense, and yet somehow everybody gets to experience, at least vicariously, everybody else's mm-hmm. area. I think it's quite unique.
Yeah, it definitely is. I was thinking last night during the modern dancing was great, and then the ballet demonstration afterwards, that probably for a lot of kids in the audience last night, that was their first exposure to ballet.
They'd probably never
seen it before.
Yeah, it was terrific. I have a niece who's 12, and she's a dancer, and I have seen her on video, mm-hmm. and I know she rehearses, but I've not seen that clear of an explanation of all the, you know, all the positions and mm-hmm. all, then we start here and we go here and here's, and you could see particularly with the way that the there were arranged, even with regard to experience, I think some of the older dancers doing the mm-hmm. more intricate moves, you could see their presence on the stage, the levels of expertise, you know, mm-hmm. as they were doing
it was,
these.
It was very
really similar. Very instructive.
Yeah.
Because we don't think, we see it as being, you know, we watch figure skating championships, you know, in the Olympics, and it looks just so fun and so easy mm-hmm. and so whatever. But we have to remind ourselves they do all those compulsory figures and they have to do all that technical, really, really technical stuff. And the same with dancers. They're so graceful and so fluid, but they're doing really specific, very, very specific technical moves.
Yeah.
I enjoyed last night a lot. I thought it was terrific.
Me too. And I enjoyed it personally, but I enjoyed it even more knowing that all these kids are being exposed to that.
Yeah.
Because it's just so cool.
Yeah. And that's perhaps of all the disciplines, one that maybe mm-hmm. people, you know, particularly the ballet aspect, not so much the other, mm-hmm. you know, contemporary sorts of dance moves, but ballet is sort of, we think of it as somehow more sort of separated. It's that very classical, very mm-hmm. you know, sort of elite segment of our understanding, and so we don't have everyday experience with that.
Right.
So I think it was great for the kids.
It was great. Yeah. I think I've run out of questions, but I want to give you the opportunity to finish the interview with whatever you'd like to say about your career, about being here, about the program here, about that mountain. The Hawks. I mean, whatever is kind of in your mind, that maybe there's something that you were hoping I asked that I didn't, or just something that the interview has made you think about. That anything on your mind that you just like to finish off with?
I guess I could say, sort of sum up all the things that we have said, and that is that I'm, you know, in my own life, I'm very eclectic in the sorts of things that I love, and that while I don't do all of them, I like to be around all of them. And so I read a lot. I love poetry. I work with words as a choral composer, as a vocal composer. I like being around people who inspire my own work and how that then transforms my teaching and relating to other students. And so I think this is sort of the whole package. I think being in a place where I'm able to do what I love to do and do, I think, well with my segment of the camp, with my students, and at the same time be around, you know, this whole other round world of arts, you know, experts. I mean, really, mm-hmm. the people who are here as faculty are so accomplished and so expert in their field. At the same time, so, you know, sort of normal, everyday folk who
very
just
accessible.
Are, they're very funny, they're mm-hmm. very conversant, they're very mm-hmm. friendly, they're very open to each other and to their students and to the whole experience. That I think, is very energizing. It's very collaborative, it's very affirming. And all of that, I think, trickles down to the kids. You know, I think what the faculty feel together as a group transfers to the students, and they begin to value each other in the same sort of a way. And I'm very, very pleased to have been asked to come, and very excited about the work with the kids and the concert that's approaching on Saturday night, particularly the collaboration with the orchestra,
yeah.
which I think is going to be fantastic. And to be able to offer, you know, on Saturday night what many other people have offered so far, you know, each evening in preparation for that. So it's just been terrific. And the setting, you know, so you had asked about the setting. I just love everything about the lodge and the mountain and the kind of sacredness of this place and the, you know, everything about it. You just feel sort of nurtured and sort mm-hmm. of valued, and I think everybody. And the interesting thing also is that the students tend to value or appear to value the property, the stuff, the things. You know, the mm-hmm. property and the surroundings. And there's a real caring for the environment, this environment of this place. So I hope I'm sitting here again sometime and you're asking me more questions. I've had a terrific week.
Maybe a year from now that'll happen. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. I'm really glad you're here this year.
Thanks very much.
I think your description there is really a nice way to sum up what you referred to earlier as the magic of Quartz Mountain. It is a magic place, and that's some amazing thing that happens here. Thanks very much,
great.
David.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it.
Terrific.